Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1088. Page 1088, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Just to set the context, as this is the announcement of the birth of Jesus, it's following the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist. Elizabeth was barren in her old age, and yet the miracle was that she was with child, who was John the Baptist. And so we now see where it says in the sixth month, it's in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that now the angel is going to appear to Mary and tell her that she too is going to be with child. So we pick this up, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. It is a wonderful thing to make the scriptures a part of our lives. It is a wonderful thing to read through the scriptures, as I know many people do, and different readings are assigned by different lectionaries and so forth. But it's also very important as part of our scripture reading is not just to read, but to meditate. I think it's one of the things I heard somebody say once, you know, "Oh Lord, save us from the sin of reading scripture too fast." It's interesting to go through, and some people have this idea. I know many wonderful things. Says, "I'm going to read through the scriptures once every year." So this year I'm going to read all the way through. So we read through, and we get to the end of the year. "Wow, what, that was great. I read the scriptures all through." It's like, well, what did you read? What did you read? The other side of that is scripture meditation, or lectio divina, divine reading of scripture. Is to take one passage of scripture and just read it over and over and over again and meditate on it and just continue to let it become a part of you. And as it's kind of like a cow chewing the cud, you know, you just chew it over and over and over again. Along these lines, I read about an account that someone gave that they were part of a group. And in this group study, I know I've shared this before, but it's a good reminder, I think. In this group study, they had a passage, and they said, "Okay, we want you to write down everything that comes to you from this passage they have." And so there's a group of people, so this guy says, "Okay," so I started writing a few things down, and I thought, okay, that's it. And then he looks around. Everybody else is still writing. You ever been in that situation? Like, okay, I'm missing something? And so he started, okay, well, let me get back to it and see. Well, okay, a few more things come to him. Yeah, well, a few more. And so this went on for about 20, 25 minutes. And so finally after that, you know, some people had written like 2 or 3 pages. So finally he said, okay, now let's look at what you've written, what God has spoken to you, and look at the things that were identified and say, okay, now, which of these things that God has revealed to you, pick 3 things that are the most important that you get out of this reading. And so he went through like everybody else and picked, well, okay, here's 3 things. And then the question was, okay, of those 3 things, which of those came to you in the first 10 minutes of your meditation? And he's like, wow, none of them. None of them. They all came to him after, you know, 15 or 20 minutes of immersing himself in God. And that was true virtually with everybody in the group. The greatest messages that God was revealing was after they'd spent 20 or 30 minutes, you know, just one verse, or I say one book of the Bible, you know, just go through and just over and over again, just keep reading it and reading it, just more and more keeps becoming evident to us. Now, another way along that line, too, of scripture meditation is a method where we put ourselves in the place of someone in the story. We insert ourselves and imagine us taking the part of this one particular character in the story. Very effective. We do that, for instance, with Peter or with John. I want to do this morning with Mary. I want to take Mary's story, the revelation that was given to her, and try to insert ourselves in the place of Mary and just see how that fits. Okay, so what we know about Mary is that she was a young maiden. She was single at the time, but engaged to a man named Joseph. She was raised in a poor family. We know that because she lived in a very poor town of Nazareth. And her people, the Jews, had been waiting for the promised Messiah for well over 1,000 years, waiting for Messiah to come. The question is, when would he come? And how would he come? So with that, we then pick up the story here that we just read in the 6th month, and this was of Elizabeth's pregnancy. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he, the angel, came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now we might stop right there and think to ourselves, well, Mary may be a favored one, but certainly I am not. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. Paul wrote, quoting Isaiah, "Though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant will be saved." Only a remnant will have their eyes open and their ears open to be able to receive this message of the salvation of God in Jesus Christ. Remember once someone asked Jesus, will only many be saved? And his response was, only a few, because the road is narrow that leads to eternal life. I tend to think maybe there's a correspondence between tithing, which is 10%, you know, belongs to God. There may be a remnant is 10%, which is a sad thing to think about. 10% of the world or 10% of our nation. I'm not sure how to apply it. Again, it's not an exact science. But we're talking only a remnant will be saved. In fact, Jesus himself said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Wow. Paul also wrote, "At the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace." Jesus also said, "No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. I think all of us know many people around us, some in our own families even, and we talk about how excited we are to know the presence of Christ, the truth of his word, and they just don't get it. It's just not important to them. It doesn't fit into their, you know, thinking in terms of what's happening with the world. And how discouraging that is for us. And I would also say how surprising. I mean, how can something that's so so dramatically powerful in our lives be treated with such, you know, just doesn't seem important to so many people. And we wonder. I was on one of the trips to the Holy Land and happened to have an Arab guide at that point. And as I talked to him, he was a very learned guy, knew all about Paul's writings, knew all about Paul, read them all. He knew Paul really well. He just couldn't accept it. He just didn't believe it. And so it was amazing to me that somebody could be that well-versed in particularly something like Paul's writings and yet have a completely different view. It's just like Paul says, they have a blinders over their eyes. They just can't see it. And yet it seems so plain to us, doesn't it? You say, well, how can that be? It is only by the grace of God. Not because we're such wonderful people, although God knows we are. Purely by the grace of God, we have been chosen. Our eyes have been opened. Our ears have been opened to be able to hear the message that we hear, you know, week after week and in the scriptures. There are so many people in this world who just don't get it. And we wonder why. By the grace of God. So we are chosen. We are favored by God. Mary was favored? Yes, absolutely. But we are also favored by God. We are blessed because God has chosen us and anointed us and opened our ears and opened our eyes that we might see the truth of his gospel. What an amazing thing that is. And so let's get back to our story. The angel says to Mary, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now, Jesus is Yeshua, which means God saves or God is salvation. Very important in the name of the meaning of the word of the name. Now, we are not going to conceive and bear Jesus within us. But I want to say to you, theologically, the presence of the Holy Spirit of Jesus within us is every bit as real as the presence of the baby Jesus in the womb of Mary. That may seem strange, but think about this theologically. You might say, yeah, but we don't have the real Jesus in us. We just have the Holy Spirit. Not. The Holy Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Jesus, which is one with Jesus. Remember the Trinity, one with Jesus. It's living inside of us, theologically, the same presence, maybe in a different way, but the same presence of the person of Jesus is in us the very same way that that presence was within the womb of Mary. Isn't that an amazing thought? It just boggles my mind to think that presence, theologically, that is a truth of the scriptures. That presence is within us. Now, how do we know that? Because Jesus said, you know him, the Holy Spirit, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Wow. Paul wrote, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus is dwelling within us the same way that Mary's body was a temple or a tabernacle of the person of the baby Jesus. The presence is the same and the presence is real. And that presence is in us. So how truly favored and blessed we are. So let's get back to our story. Mary says to the angel, something that we might say ourselves, well, how can this be? How can this be? The presence of the living God is going to dwell within me? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, that's separate, special, the Son of God, for nothing will be impossible with God. How can this be? How can this be? The Holy Spirit comes upon us, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary's response, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. What a great testament this probably young maiden, but she knew the Bible story. She knew the significance of what this angel is now saying to her. She also must have realized very quickly the embarrassments that would come. It's like, oh my goodness, how am I going to explain this to Joseph? How am I going to explain this to my parents? What about all our neighbors? Nazareth was a small town. Talk about small towns and everybody knowing everything. Nazareth was a small town. The shame, the guilt that would have come from that, of all people being shunned and so forth, the parents who would share in that, Joseph who would share in that. And yet her response was, "Let it be to me according to your will." What a blessing it is to see this example of obedience, this example of submission to the will of God as a servant of God. And that's what makes Mary so honored, I believe, among all the Bible scriptures and all the people, the subjects of the scriptures. And so let's now try to put ourselves in the place of Mary. So Jesus comes to us and he says, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." That's true. The Lord is with us. "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. You will receive my Holy Spirit in you." How? "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Therefore, you will be reborn," not born, but reborn, theologically correct, "and will be called holy," set apart, holy, "a child of God." Not the Son of God, there's only one Son, but we are a child of God because of Jesus. "For nothing is impossible with God." How can this be? How can the Holy Spirit come upon us? How can this presence of God come and dwell within me? "For nothing's impossible with God." He can do it. He can do it. And so what is our response? Hopefully it's the same as Mary's. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me according to your word. Let me read this thing again. "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord God is with you. You will receive my Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Therefore, you will be reborn, a new creation, and will be called holy, a child of God. For nothing is impossible with God." Do you grasp the enormity of that message? Everything that I've just said is theologically true, biblically true, and how profound it is for us to understand that and to appreciate it and to receive it. We have been chosen. I know that because you wouldn't be here. We are special. We are favored in the sight of God. And so we can say, as Mary sang the song, the Magnificat, we can say these very same words. Listen to this. "My soul glorifies the Lord." Yes. "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Oh, yes. "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Yes. "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." That might seem kind of far-fetched, but yet our descendants will call us blessed because we were favored and chosen by God. And we knew Jesus. And hopefully we pass that on to the next generation. Yes, all generations will call us blessed because they knew us as people of prayers and people of Jesus. "For the Mighty One has done great things for me." Oh, yes. "And holy is his name." Wow. Wow. Now, as I was, the application, I always look, what's the application of this? Certainly is to get an understanding within us what this means. My first thought was to try and communicate this to those around us. We have lots of people around us who have rejected us or abandoned us or accused us or whatever. And I thought we need to put that off and be able to say, no, it's, you know, what those people say is not really true. In fact, I am favored. I am special. I am chosen by God. But then it occurred to me that there is one person that we really need to convince that everything I've just said is true. We really are favored. We really are chosen. We really are blessed. There is one person who really, really needs to understand that. Yeah, me and you. Who is our greatest critic? We are. Who knows all the stuff we've done in our lives? We do. Who knows all the mistakes that we've made? We do. Who has a sense of how truly unworthy we are to receive this? We are. And yet Jesus comes to us and says, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Wow. Wow. How blessed we are. How truly favored we are. Because we are chosen people of God. So my hope that each and every one of us could internalize this and grasp it and the truth of it to understand how truly special we are in the sight of God. And to come to the point that we could see ourselves the way Jesus sees us, favored, blessed, chosen. Yes, we're very much like Mary, aren't we? The very presence of the King of Kings is in us and will remain with us forever and ever. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is really upon us. And because we are chosen and blessed, the best is yet to come. God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer? In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.